Hey, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of Random Chatter. We are going to be talking about various different things we've been watching. It has been a while. It's been, as I'm told the kids are saying these days, a hot minute since we've done any review. It's probably not what the kids are saying these days, but that's okay. It's been a while. But I'm here with Tim. And Tim, it's been a while since you've been on the show, it feels like.
Darn kids, get off my lawn.
I know, right?
With you and your sayings. It's been a little while.
Not too long. You know, a little bit
of travel, that kind of stuff going on. But I'm here. It's good to be here. It's just you and me tonight.
It is. Lou couldn't make it. He had a family obligation, and that might actually take him out for a few days. So I don't know if we're going to get to Media Chatter tomorrow or not. But we're going to try to make it up to you in what will either be an extended length review episode, or we might have to break it down into a couple of individual recordings. We're going to see how this goes here, but we have a lot.
This is probably worth like 18 recordings
to cover. It very well may be. And you're going to have to bear with us a little bit too, because we actually created a little internal database here for us to be able to track things like this. And it's going to, I think, help streamline things in the future. But this is one of the first times we're using it. So, you know, the whole launch day bugs and problems and stuff, we'll see how it goes. But
it's fun, though.
It is. Something that was fun, I did get out to the theaters recently while my son was visiting. And now he had already seen this. Oh, I got to tell. I know we're going to run long. I have to tell this story. My son was visiting, and we live, you know, about maybe an hour and a half, not including traffic, outside of the DC area. Okay. So we're out in the middle of nowhere. And I thought, while he's here, you know, it was blistering hot. That was that 2 week period where we had like three massive heat waves. And I thought, oh, we got to get some exercise. So I took him out to Tyson's Corner Mall, or Tyson's Galleria Mall, on the west side of the DC Beltway. Big mall, very nice. And we weren't going to see a movie because he had already seen Jurassic World Dominion. I hadn't seen it, but while we were there, we're like, you know, we drove all the way out here. We might as well spend as much time as we could here. And I realized they have an IMAX screen, not the giant size screens, but the IMAX certified screens there. So it's higher quality, better sound, et cetera. Like it's a good premium experience. He loves the Jurassic World movies. And I thought, well, you know what? It might be nice for him to get to see it on IMAX. And I hadn't seen it. So I asked him about it. He said, yeah, that sounds good. So we paid like $17 a ticket. And long story short, we get in. It's not in one of the IMAX screens.
What?
And yet it didn't indicate one way or the other for any of the movies at the kiosk where you buy the tickets.
If they were or were not.
Right.
Huh. Okay.
And
that's unfortunate.
Yeah. So, you know, I paid, and we were going to go see a matinee where more locally, where the price would have been $8. And instead, $17. So between that and the concessions, it was like a $75 movie experience in a theater that is not bad technologically, but maybe could have been cleaned a little better. But
yeah,
that was annoying. Anyhow, Jurassic World Dominion. You saw it too, right, Tim?
Yeah.
What did you think of it?
I thought it was good. I thought it was a lot of fun. It was cool to be bringing together, you know, the old and the new, the Jurassic Park side of the franchise or the Jurassic World side of the franchise. In terms of their main cast in this kind of combined story. I think probably my only downside to it was that it took a while to get where it was going.
True.
I mean, it really wasn't until the third act when they all got together. So it was a long time, but good payoff, like really worth it. For anyone who is a fan of the franchise, absolutely go see it. My wife is saying, it is, aside from the first Jurassic Park movie, it is her favorite movie of the franchise. So, like, that's seriously high praise. You know, for me, it was good. It was a good movie. I liked it.
You know, for me, I told people that I thought that aside from the original movie, it was probably the best one in the franchise.
Really?
So it sounds like your wife and I are on the same page here. I thought that.
Yeah.
I don't get into the whole family reunion thing, as I call it, you know, bringing the old characters to meet the new characters. A lot of times it's forced. It's a marketing gimmick. Mm-hmm. It doesn't feed the story at all. And I feel like it did here. And I liked that. You're right. It did take a while for things to really kind of ramp up, but it did ramp up. And I think that this was probably story-wise one of the most relatable, I guess. It's hard to use the term relatable, but like I cared more about what was happening to the characters in this one than I did in many of the others. And I like the Jurassic World reboot. No, not reboot, but you know, kind of restructuring of the series. I like the Jurassic World films, but I think this one was solid. I think it was really good.
Yeah. Yeah, it was. I liked it a lot. I liked the new character, the pilot.
Yeah.
That they brought in Kayla Watts. Yep. She was awesome. Like she was the most entertaining character of the whole movie. Like she gave the movie so much character. And I mean, already a really great movie with an incredible cast, and then adding her in, and I don't know that I'm familiar with her from anything. In fact, I'm looking her up right now quick.
Yeah,
I don't think I've seen her in anything else. And I was thoroughly impressed with her. I liked her a lot.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. A lot of times they bring in a new character, and it's kind of it's either the damsel in distress kind of character,
mm-hmm.
or it, and that's not even like a gender thing. It can be a male character, but it's the stereotype of the oh save me hero. And then the hero spends the movie saving that character, and then they ride off into the sunset and they go to the next movie. Like it's kind of a throwaway character, or it's a character to get connected to then have die.
Yeah.
So it's always kind of that throwaway character. And this never felt like that. She had her own story. She had depth.
Yeah.
She was a good character with agency in the story. And yep. a backstory.
She had she had a backstory. She had her own arc through the whole thing. And even in, you know, is basically at the very end of the movie when they just kind of do these little snippets of, you know, basically here's where everyone ever ended up. Mm-hmm. Like she had one of those, and it was insanely meaningful to the character. I really liked it. I liked, also BD Wong, his character, Henry Wu, who we've seen through multiple movies. Like this was a great place where he ended up.
I loved that they did something with him.
Yeah. Cause he was always there.
Right.
You know, he's for the last few movies, he's been there. He's been a presence. BD Wong is a great actor.
Hmm.
And you know, I mean, kind of underutilized in these movies.
Well, he's the obligatory scientist who has to give the exposition.
Yes. Yeah. And he was still underutilized in this, but he still at least had a meaningful arc. And not only in this movie, but this was also, again, kind of a wrap up of his storyline. And, you know, they're saying that this may very well be the last movie of the franchise. I don't believe it for a bit.
If it is, it would be okay, though. I feel like
I would totally be okay with it.
It was a good ending. Like it was fulfilling. I felt like it was rewarding.
Yeah, but it's, I mean, you know, look at the franchise. The franchise is a huge, huge moneymaker.
Yeah.
There's so much, even if they, you know, go on. So like we had the Jurassic Park part of it. We had the Jurassic World part of it. And, you know, those are kind of over. And then if we get a Jurassic something or other, you know, a third series within the franchise, because dinosaurs.
Yeah, and they're now in the world.
Yeah.
So I'll say this, a few things that I wasn't expecting from this movie. So you mentioned Kayla. By the end of the movie, I felt like, I'm not anxious to see this, but if they decided to give her own spinoff movie, I would go watch it.
Oh, yeah. And it doesn't even have to do anything with dinosaurs.
No.
I love the character. And she's a Han Solo.
It's the type of character you see in things like Uncharted or Sahara or any of these kind tomb raiding, smuggling type of films. Mm-hmm. But totally. She was well created and well written and well performed.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. She's a Han Solo. She's a Valkyrie.
Yeah.
We're going to be talking about Thor later on. She's a Valkyrie kind of character where basically she just did stuff for money. And then, you know, morality kicks in and, you know, she becomes a hero of sorts. So it's, she was definitely, and again, among a great cast, she like shined in it.
Mm, yeah. I was really pleasantly surprised by that. And the other thing too that I was surprised by was the plot, the antagonist, the bad guy, and the whole, you know, what are we doing? It wasn't yet another Death Star.
Yeah.
You know, it wasn't yet another, you know, now we have a bigger super tyranno awesomesaurus.
Mm-hmm.
The point of the film, the challenge and the big climax at the end was different. It was something we hadn't really seen. And yeah, there were elements of things we've seen because it's Jurassic World, but really the plot was new.
Mm-hmm.
And that was kind of nice.
Yeah.
Yeah. I would say this is a solid, solid film, a solid addition to the franchise. And even outside of the franchise, I'd say it was a solid movie for this year. I think one of the better films I've seen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I liked it. I mean, not really well reviewed, by the masses, but, I don't know. I think they're missing something. I don't know what else they were looking for.
I think the fact that it took a while to ramp up probably didn't help. I think that it being up against Top Gun Maverick probably didn't help.
Mm.
And, you know, it's what, part 17 in a franchise? You know, it's a little hard to really get people excited about it. But I'm telling you,
it's somewhere between Star Wars and Marvel, in terms of number of movies,
right?
So.
And Rocky. Yeah, it's good though. Like for real, it is one of the best Jurassic series films out there, and we're talking like top two, top three. So. All right, we're going to move along to a show. And by the way, you mentioned Thor, Love, and Thunder. Because we might have to break this up into a couple of episodes, I'm scooting that down further in the list. We in the industry like to call that a tease. Because that way...
We'll have that headline the next episode.
It may headline the next episode, yeah.
I'm good with that.
Speaking of Chris Pratt, he had another project that just came out.
Chris Pratt has been a very busy man.
No,
he has been
kidding.
In like half the things I have watched.
And he hasn't sucked in them. No. That's the thing. You'd think, he'd burn out or something, but dude is just like, he's on his game every single movie. So this movie, he was, you know, the kind of the action hero, but kind of like the plucky action hero that, you know, a little bit comedic. And, he was in Thor, Love, and Thunder as more of a comedic character. And then in this new Amazon Prime Video series, there's nothing comedic about it at all. It demonstrates...
No, it's very hardcore.
Yes. And it demonstrates he can do hardcore as well. Like, he's got the drama chops. Why don't you tell us a little bit about The Terminal List? Because you've seen the entire first season, right? I have not. I've seen the first couple of episodes.
Yeah. Yeah. So the, let's see, The Terminal List is a, like I said, very, very, very deep kind of series, military action, but there's also like there's very much a thriller aspect to it. There's a mystery to be solved, and he is Scooby-Doo and he is going through this. But really serious, they get into things like PTSD and a lot of other stuff.
Yeah.
It seems like
there's a little bit of a mind warpy aspect to, I'm trying to keep the language clean. There's another more popular term for that, but
yes,
you know how Lost kind of like messed with the viewers' heads a little bit. But maybe in a way that was a little more messy. This show, you're following the protagonist as he's going through, and he's not entirely sure about what he remembers anymore. And then you're not really sure whether it's his memory or whether there's something else going on. And again, I'm only two episodes into it, so this isn't spoilers. This is the premise of the series.
Yeah. It's very, very like Tom Clancy thrillerish.
Yeah.
Kind of a thing. There's a, you know, again, very strong military aspect to it. The series moves and it wraps up really well. It's very compelling. It's got a great cast. There is that mind warping piece to it, which does get some explanation, later on, along with PTSD. There's other stuff that's going on with it. And basically it starts off that he is the leader of a SEAL team and he's the only survivor of that team on a mission.
I thought there were one or two others that made it out.
I'm sorry. Yes, there was one other.
Okay.
Basically that's the first thing that goes wrong in this guy's life. Following that, everything goes wrong in this guy's life. And it is basically him trying to figure out, like, he's strongly believing, like, they're telling him things that he doesn't remember happening. And it seems like it was very clear to him that, like, hey, this was a setup kind of a thing. And the Defense Department is like, no, this was just a mission that went bad. And he's like, yeah, no, this was beyond bad intel. This is like they've been chasing this terrorist cell for years. And he said, there's something else here that happened. And so this whole thing ultimately is about him figuring out what happened. And it's, really good, really well done.
So I'll say a lot of times, the first episode or two of a series, you kind of have to be patient and let it find its footing and stuff. I think the first episode, you don't really get into any of that mind warpy stuff until the end of the episode. But even then, the first episode was solid. The second episode was solid.
Keep watching.
The pace, even for the first two episodes, was just almost nonstop. Mm-hmm. It was moving from plot point to plot point. It gave you a little bit of time to digest what was going on. It wasn't all action, but even like the non-action things and the investigation stuff and the conversations between him and his commanding officer about, you know, reviewing the after action report on what happened and things like that. Mm-hmm. It was all I don't think I checked my phone a single time through any of it. And I'm quickly getting to the point where I'm more and more easily distracted as I'm watching stuff because I got too much to watch and too much to do. And even if I'm focused, I'm typically taking notes to cover for something later. And I was just glued to the screen for this.
Yeah. Yeah. It's really great. And right to the end, you know, there's a twist right in the end. So it's just, I mean, truly, watch it all the way through. I will say the second act dips down a little bit just because they need to get more into, there's so many layers to this plot that they need to unravel, but it still moves and there's still plenty of action in it. It's just kind of the balance of that action and drama aspect of it just kind of tips a little bit more in favor of drama because they have to move that plot. It can't be all action all the time. So,
right.
But it's worth it. And it's still like, it's deeply, deeply interesting.
Okay. All right. For the rest of what we're going to cover here, we have a scattering of recent things and, some seasons that just wrapped on some high profile things. I think, if we start the next episode here with Thor, Love and Thunder, why don't we throw one more Marvel thing into this episode though? Why don't we talk about what we thought overall about Ms. Marvel? And I know we talk about this on the Guardians of the MCU podcast, so we won't belabor it too much here, but what did you think of Ms. Marvel as a series?
I love what they did with it. I think like a lot of people, I had some reservations going into it, although I was still very hopeful because it was Marvel and aside from the Inhumans, they hadn't screwed up anything yet. And this is, beyond me saying, hey, I like, well, but this is beyond me saying I like something or I didn't like something.
True.
Like, you know, I'm not a fan of Ant-Man. You know, but did they screw it up? No, they right. delivered on what they were supposed to.
Right.
Ms. Marvel, they absolutely delivered on what they were supposed to. They did not give us this, you know, angsty teenager who discovers superpowers thing. She's not angsty at all, but she's still a teenager and she's getting through life and she's navigating friends and the world and family and her faith and all this other stuff while being thrown into this thing of getting these superpowers. And it's done incredibly well. It is done to the extent that any other of these MCU Disney Plus shows has been done. And the finale was darn near perfect. They wrapped every plot point in this finale. Yes, there were things that were still left hanging because they have to, because this is an entire franchise.
Right.
It's not just one series. So yeah, there were some things left hanging, which was good. We got a great reveal at the end of it, which is not only great for the character, but for the entire MCU. I loved it. I thought it was fantastic.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think that this is, you know, it's getting hard to compare the Marvel series because Loki was a very particular type of story. Weird universe traversal, popping in and out of different realities, etc. Hawkeye was, you know, a guy covered with bruises and a black eye down on the streets in New York City. WandaVision was this just weird magical stuff going on that you could barely keep up with. You know, what's going on? You could watch it and follow it, but you're like, what's really going on behind the scenes? What's causing all
sure.
of this?
Sure.
And so it's hard to then take another show that starts out as kind of like a high school angsty, you know, I want to go to the party and my parents won't let me sort of thing.
Right.
And I'm making light of it. It's even in those moments, it was still really good. It's hard to take something like that and compare it to Loki and say which is better. I'm going to say that the writing, the acting on this series is one of the top MCU shows. I don't even know how I would rank it, but it's way up there. It was so good and unexpected, yeah. In my opinion.
Yeah, it really was. They did a great job with it. I'm tremendously happy with it.
All right. So, I want to talk about something I saw, and I don't think you are following this series. I could be wrong.
I'm not.
You're not watching The Boys?
No, I've seen a couple episodes of it, and I really liked it. It's just one of those things that never, like, it didn't grab me.
Okay.
So, and I probably have to go back to it because I know it is wildly popular.
It is, and it's hard.
Superhero stuff.
It's hard to like because it's super violent. It's disturbing. It's easy to like in the sense that it's superhero stuff. There's a lot of, you know, we talk about how Star Trek has storylines that reflect current social issues and stuff like that. No, The Boys goes straight to things that happened last week and it goes right for the throat. Like, it's just no holds barred in every regard. So it's a little tricky to watch. Season 3 just ended. On the Story Crucible podcast we did for a while, Lila and I talked about seasons 1 and 2 individually. And season 1 was, I thought it was really good. Season 2 was, it was okay. Season 3 is really, really good.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's really good. I like, do I recommend it? I don't know. It's, you need to know whether the show's for you. If the show's for you, it's very much for you and you're going to love it. If the show's not for you, stay as far away as possible from the show. But, if you're watching, if you watched season 2 and you kind of fell off the wagon and you're like, the writing's all over the place. Season 3 was much better. Way, way, way better. Solid story. The plot line moved through the whole season. It's almost like they got a better set of writers or something. I haven't looked. Presumably it's a lot of the same writers, but they definitely improved things. So Boys, season 3, Amazon Prime Video, big improvement over second season. I would say it's at least as good as the first season, or really, really close. You recently saw Resident Evil, right? This is on Netflix.
Yeah. So this is the new series, that is on Netflix. And I just watched the first couple of episodes, tonight, and really compelling, really good cast. I think probably the most recognizable person in the cast is, Lance Reddick. And you probably don't know the name, but he is, he's the guy from the, John Wick movies who was the desk clerk in the hotel.
No, Tim, he's Michael Avedon from Lost.
Oh, okay. I'd never watched Lost.
Oh, Tim. Babylon 5, so, Battlestar Galactica, and now Lost? Really?
Yeah. So he's great in this. The lead character, Jade, which is one of his daughters, she is the full-on lead in this, and she's fantastic. Very actiony, very, this is rated TVMA. And I will say it is rated a very strong TVMA. If you've seen any of the Resident Evil movies, this is obviously in that world. You are in New Raccoon City. Everything has been basically destroyed and controlled by the Umbrella Corporation. And she's in the middle of this, and it is, I will tell you, the effects are fantastic. The action is fantastic. The horror aspect, the zombie character creature horror aspect of it is like really hardcore. So if you don't like any of that stuff, do not watch this. But if you do like that stuff, if you are into the movies, or even if you've never seen any of the movies, but you like some, I'll say some harder core zombie stuff. Like if you're like, oh, I like The Walking Dead. No, this is like, if you take The Walking Dead, which is, you know, maybe like a 6 on that scale, and you crank that knob to like 11, that's kind of where this goes. So you really have to have a stomach for this.
I don't mind the gore, but I have no interest in the whole zombie genre. So I don't know where I fall on that spectrum.
Yeah. And you know, Resident Evil, I assume you've seen some Resident Evil movies, right?
Oh yes. I don't remember any of them, but yes. Mila Jovovich.
Yes.
Who also did other brilliant movies like whatever that vampire movie was that I got 80% of the way through the movie before realizing it was a vampire movie. Ultraviolet.
Yeah. So she is not in this. She has retired from the Resident Evil franchise. So this is an entirely new take on it. It's not a reboot. It can all exist in the same world. It's really interesting. And of course, you know, zombies in Resident Evil are it's a very different take on zombies. It is a viral type of thing. But these are different zombies, than again, like Walking Dead zombies, which, you know, they really are animated dead and they're slow moving. And no, in this, they chase after you. Like if you don't run fast, you are dead.
So these are the faster ones. These are like the Army of the Dead movie came out a couple of years ago.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Army of the Dead. What was the Will Smith one? I Am Legend. You know, that kind of okay. zombie.
World War Z.
Yeah. Yep. Totally.
Okay. All right.
So it's good. It's good.
I'll have to check it out. I'll see how I do with it. Again, the zombie thing, not really my plate. Horror stuff is okay if it's done well, if it's, you know, got a plot, if it's interesting.
Yeah.
I'll check it out. All right. Spiderhead. What is Spiderhead. This on the list here?
Spiderhead. This is another Netflix thing. In fact, a lot of the stuff I've watched lately has been on Netflix,
which is good because Netflix needs help. I don't know if you saw the news, but
yeah,
struggling a little bit financially.
Yeah, they've kind of dipped down a little bit, and I think obviously a lot of competition from Disney Plus, which has been beating every benchmark that they've set for themselves. I mean, they're already after what, 2.5 years in, they've already beaten like their 7-year mark, you know, from their expectations and such. So recently, last couple months, they've put out a lot of stuff. So Spiderhead is stars Chris Hemsworth and Journey Smollett, and fantastic. We are going to talk in the next episode about Thor Love and Thunder. Without spoiling anything, that was crap. And this also stars Chris Hemsworth, and it was way better. Way better. So the premise of this, the whole plot to this, is that he is a scientist of sorts on this island, and he has gathered prisoners from the prison system in various locations and brought them to this island. And these are willful participants in medical experiments. And basically he has medications that get injected into the different individuals that can prompt different things. So they can prompt anger. They can prompt euphoria. They can prompt hallucinations. They can prompt like hardcore sadness, that kind of thing.
Okay, so mood altering medication, but things that can target specific moods.
Yes, yeah. And you know, it's and just like anything, it's based on dosage. So like they can give a little bit of dosage and kind of see what happens. They can give a lot of dosage and see what happens. And yeah, just where this whole thing goes is fascinating. Absolutely fascinating. And Chris Hemsworth does a great job in this. Journey Smollett does a great job in this. Miles Teller is the other lead in it. I don't know that I've ever seen him in anything.
Really?
Oh, he was
in Reed Fantastic Richards. Four, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was Reed Richards in, well, that's a Fantastic Four movie that we don't talk about.
Well, yeah. I mean, there's the Roger Corman one too, but there are several Fantastic Four movies we don't talk about.
He was Rooster in Top Gun Maverick.
Yep.
I didn't even realize that. Okay. Yeah.
He's been in a few things.
He has. So yeah.
I think it was War Dogs or something.
He was. Yeah. Now that I'm looking through his list, I'm seeing more things that I am familiar with that I have seen him. I guess he just like didn't hit me that hard before, but yeah. So he's kind of one of the co-leads in this, or actually arguably he probably is the lead in this, even though Chris Hemsworth is the bigger name and kind of the driving plot point behind this. Miles Teller's character is the more central character. Yeah, really good. Highly recommend. This is a rated R type of thing. So just to put that out there for what it's worth.
Okay. All right. We have two more things we're going to get to. We're going to wrap this episode up and then get to the next recording here. So Tim, I'm going to give you a choice.
Mm-hmm.
You can listen to me talk about a Nicolas Cage movie, or you can listen to me talk about the third season of The Orville. And you know my feelings on Nicolas Cage movies, and you know my feelings on season 3 of The Orville. So what do you choose?
Well, I'm happy to engage you in discussion about The Orville, and I'm thoroughly enjoying it. I actually do want to hear you talk about the Nick Cage movie, because I've not watched it. I have zero plans to watch it.
Okay.
I'm a fan of old school Nick Cage. The dude just keeps getting weirder and weirder and weirder, and I am not going to watch this.
So,
do tell,
Eric. And you know my thoughts on Nicolas Cage, right?
Yeah.
And what in your interpretation, how would you describe my thoughts on Nicolas Cage?
Weirder and weirder and weirder.
Yeah. Not a fan. not a fan, and not shy about it. I am. Yeah. he had good movies, you know, The Rock and maybe one or two others a long, long, long time ago. And he is just, he is the king of overacting and just almost, in my opinion, to like a ridiculous extent.
Mm-hmm.
So in this movie, The Unbearable Weight of Massive Talent, Nicolas Cage stars as Nicolas Cage.
Oh, and good. Because we needed more.
Because we needed more. Not only do we get Nicolas Cage in a movie, we get Nicolas Cage as Nicolas Cage in a movie being Nicolas Cage. Except he's struggling. He doesn't really get work anymore. And which... I mean, I can kind of understand why, but I won't go into that. And so his agent gets him a gig. And this gig is that some guy somewhere in, I think, Central America, Mexico, somewhere. This rich, 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 rich guy wants to hire him to come out for a birthday party for like some insane amount of money. I don't know, $1 million or whatever. And so he kind of, okay, I guess I'll do it. And this, millionaire, billionaire, whatever is played by Pedro Pascal from The Mandalorian. Okay. And, but the CIA is targeting him for, you know, the leader of a drug cartel, right? So they're then trying to figure out how they can leverage Nicolas Cage's visit with this guy as a way to kind of get what they want out of it. And Nicolas Cage in this movie is not as Nicolas Cagey as Nicolas Cage seems to be in every other Nicolas Cage movie, which I have to wonder if this is his best acting ever, in the sense that he's being not Nicolas Cagey as Nicolas Cage. Like how hard did he have to work at that?
How much wood did a woodchuck chuck?
Right. but this guy expects him to be like this, you know, oh, this awesome action hero and all this kind of stuff. And he's like, yeah, no, dude, I'm just here for the gig and, you know, I'm happy to be here and whatever, but. So anyway, antics ensue from there. I'm going to say this. This is the best movie Nicolas Cage has been in a really freaking long time.
Really?
Really.
Okay.
Without hesitation. This is the best Nicolas Cage movie I've seen in years and years and years and years. I want to say all the way back to The Rock. I mean, Con Air was okay. Face Off was okay. I really don't like Nicolas Cage at all. This may be one of his best films.
Wow. Wow. Holy crap, Eric. I did not expect that from you.
Yeah. I know. I did not expect it from me either. I've spent weeks contemplating whether to even speak up about this, as you know, the heresy involved just makes me cringe. I feel like a hypocrite, but I have to be honest. It was an enjoyable movie.
Hmm.
Never going to win awards, but I don't even want to say it was okay. It was maybe even good.
Wow.
Yeah.
Folks, if we were doing these in video, you can actually see it physically pains Eric to say that.
It does.
Like it really
I can
does.
Feel my
like
face can, all squinched up.
The body language on Eric, he's so uncomfortable saying it. And yeah, his face like contorted in this kind of like, I was going to ask if he was okay, but I knew the subject matter. So I figured he'd get over it.
To give you a visual. Imagine somebody who's like kind of cringing and whimpering, but also really, really super constipated all at the same time. That's what I imagine my face looks like right now. It's that painful to say that this movie really was pretty darn decent. Huh. Yeah. So.
Okay. All right.
The Orville season three, dude.
The Orville season three.
I'm only three, maybe four episodes into it. And what the hell is going on in the show?
See, I'm enjoying it. I like what they're doing with the characters. I like the storylines that they're doing. You know, they're kind of continuing on with the thing where a lot of the stories they're doing have some social relevance to us, you know, to contemporary real life. It's good. I'm enjoying it.
I'm glad that you are. And I mean that, but I feel like if you look at like the Boys' social commentary is like so right in your face, but it feels real. And so it doesn't feel preachy. Star Trek Brave New World, doesn't feel preachy. This to me feels, if not preachy, then dangerously close.
I can see that. I won't argue that.
Yeah, it's and to be fair, I think that the older Star Trek was too. But I think back then that was also the nature of that generation of storytelling. If you look at storytelling from the 90s, it's not like it was in the 80s. And if you look at it during the aughts, it's not what it was in the 90s. And, you know, the 2020s, it's, you know, still kind of close to what it was in the 2010s. But yeah. It changes over time. And this feels very much like something that was kind of, you could do that in between original series and Next Generation. But now it feels like stale, I guess. I'm trying to think of a good way to describe it. It feels like the method of telling the story in such a way to include those. It feels a little bit stale to me. That's number one. Number two, the dialogue feels very much like there's somebody off stage holding up cue cards a lot of the time. It's big paragraphs. It's not the way that people would speak in a normal conversation. And I mean, so staying with the Star Trek analogy, Next Generation suffered from that quite a bit too. You look at the new stuff and it doesn't. Discovery doesn't, Picard doesn't, Brave New World doesn't, but the older Star Trek stuff does. And I know that this is McFarlane's way to kind of do Next Generation. And I love Next Generation. I get that.
Yeah.
I would be thrilled to be able to make a show like this too, but I feel like he needs to get back into 2022 while he's doing it. So the dialogue and the delivery of the dialogue seems flat. And then number three, should they just retitle the show from the Orville to whatever the doctor's name is? She's like the main character, the main story focal point through most of season two. And now that season three hit, she's like, just give her the steering wheel of the damn ship.
That's true. That is true. And while I don't mind the character, I think that she's getting just like way too much. I mean, there's a lot of other characters that I think are really interesting and I'd like to.
So I looked it up.
I'd like to explore more.
Unless I'm wrong, because this is like almost 2 months now that I looked it up. She's one of the writers.
Oh, is she?
And then I'm like, oh, well, that explains a lot, doesn't it?
Well, sure. She just.
Yeah.
That's called career stability.
Yeah. Or at least she's got writing credits. Like, again, I need to actually dig into that a little bit more before I go throwing that sort of accusation out there. But.
Sure.
I mean, it kind of feels. So I'm having a really hard time with it. I'm still going to finish it up, but I'm also trying to finish up other things, and I'm just having a really hard time. And now that like they're not focusing on the humor as much anymore, and I know that was a push from the network more so than, you know, they wanted Family Guy in space, and Seth MacFarlane's like, no, I want to actually do a sci-fi show.
Yeah, yeah.
Now that they're doing the sci-fi show, some of the weaker elements that the humor compensated for, that there's no longer that compensation. So the weak dialogue to me no longer feels like, oh, well, that's okay, because there's a lot of it that's still kind of funny to make up for it. Now that's gone. And it's like it's taking itself much more seriously now, but it's stuck in two decades ago. four decades ago.
And I do miss the humor. And I gotta say, you know, I mean, I was kind of sold on what the network on what Fox was selling us early on, that this was basically going to be more or less a parody of Star Trek. As you said, Family Guy in space, which, and as a big Family Guy fan, I'm a big Seth MacFarlane fan, but also, like, the guy has some serious range in everything that
he does. Really does.
And yeah, he's a great actor. He's a great writer, music performer, like incredible music performer,
very good singer.
He does really great things. And, you know, I do hate to see him be kind of, you know, typecast, as it were, you know, in just comedy kind of things.
Right.
So I can appreciate that he did want to do something that was a little more serious, a little more social commentary-ish, but I would still like to see some of that humor come back. I think it needs a little bit of balance. It's like the pendulum swung a little bit too far away from it. And, you know, well, because now this is on Hulu, they are taking a couple of liberties, like, you know, they drop a couple of swear words in each episode. And it doesn't seem gratuitous. It's not like real heavy handed. They're not F-bombs or anything, but they are able to express a little bit more because they're not on network TV anymore, which I think is great. Like I like that part of it because that is how people talk. But also definitely agreeing with what you said about kind of the exposition that they go through and it does almost, I will grant you, sometimes feel like they're just simply reading from a cue card type of thing.
I think
so.
And, you know, we've got some actors there we've seen in other things, whether it's MacFarlane or Pilecki or whoever.
Yeah.
We know these people can act. And there are some we've not seen in other things who've demonstrated that they can act. Mm-hmm. I think really it's the writing. I want this to succeed. I want more sci-fi on television, and I want more of this type of sci-fi on television, and I want MacFarlane to continue to be successful. So I'm not trying to trash this. I'm saying I hope it gets better. I hope they fix it. Or maybe, like, hey, maybe later in the season I'm going to say, oh, you know what? The end of the season was good. I don't know. But right now, I've lost faith in it, and I'm going to continue, and I'm hoping that, you know, now they've changed the show, like you just said. New network, new tone for the show. And that's a big change. Yeah. Maybe they just need to kind of settle in and get the swing of things again. And then maybe it'll go okay. But, and could then be. Finally, I think there's way too much of the Doctor character.
So. Yeah. Yeah. I agree.
Why don't you tell us about the Bear? And then we're going to wrap up this episode.
Yeah. So, The Bear, this is not on Netflix. This is over on Hulu. This just started up, maybe 3 weeks ago or so. And I went through the entire thing, all the episodes, 9 episodes in a couple of nights. Really compelling story. I liked it. So if you like, folks know that I like cooking things. I like chef things. And that's basically what this is about. So it's a, guy whose brother died the brother who died is actually played by John Bernthal, who was Punisher and Walking Dead and several other things. And he only comes in through flashbacks, so when the show starts, the brother's already dead. And he ran a just kind of this, you know, corner store, like not fast foodish, but, you know, quick food kind of Italian steak sandwich shop in Chicago. Now the living brother was like, he was a chef at the French Laundry. For folks who don't know, is like one of the highest rated restaurants in the world. And so, like, you know, classically trained chef, he's like incredible with the stuff that he does, and he's won awards and all these other things. And so the brother dies and leaves him the restaurant. And so he quits his job at the French Laundry and then goes to run the original beef of Chicagoland restaurant. And there's just this dysfunctional group of people that are working there. He finds out the place is like $300,000 in the hole. It just, anything that can go wrong will go wrong. The equipment is old. The recipes are dated. It just everything. And he's dealing with grieving his brother's death. He's dealing with some of his own issues, along with kind of managing this dysfunctional group. It's headlined by Jeremy Allen White, who I never saw the show Shameless, but he's one of the leads in Shameless, which apparently is like really good.
I've heard that. Yeah.
Yeah. And so there's some other like really terrific actors in this that just carry it. And it becomes this like really compelling story that you go through. Joel McHale makes a couple of brief appearances in the thing. I don't know there's necessarily any other notables, but I mean, truly the whole cast of it is really great. And it's definitely set up for another season, which I would love to see in this. And this is one of those things like, so earlier in this episode, we talked about The Terminal List and just how wowed I was by The Terminal List and everything. And even so, like, you know, my wife and I finished watching it. We both loved it. And she's like, what do you think about a second season? I'm like, I don't want a second season. Like the main character's arc is done. It's like watching a movie. That movie is done. We don't need a sequel. There doesn't need to be anything else with this. I'm completely satisfied with what happened. And I loved it. With this is one of those things that they can definitely do a second season because it's not over. Although they still wrap the story and I don't think we're going to get a second season out of it because in the end they definitely did wrap it. And I think pretty well and reasonably satisfying. But there are some really interesting characters, kind of like what you said with Jurassic World Dominion. Like, I want to see them follow this one character and see what this character is going to do with the rest of her life. Because, like, that's just really compelling and really exciting. So, if you like chef cooking kinds of things, because so much of this, 85% of it takes place in the kitchen, it's great. Hmm. If not, probably pass.
If you are not into cooking, is there enough in the story and the character interactions and stuff like that to still carry someone through?
I would say so because it's life in the context of the restaurant,
right?
The restaurant's the setting,
but yes. It's about. I kind of got the impression from the previews I saw that it was much more about the interactions and him trying to build success than it was about food.
True. While they talk about food, that the discussion of food is kind of the vehicle for the rest of the story, right. in a lot of ways. So, yeah, I think if you can see through, and I won't say that the food aspect is superficial, but if you can see through that top layer of things enough to get into the story and have the story hold your interest, then yeah, give it a shot. So, yeah, I thought it was really good. It is TVMA. Just because of the language and a little bit of violence. But yeah, that's where they're at.
All right. Well, I think that's going to do it for this episode. Then we had some things that were big headliners and we had some things that were really, really good, but maybe flew under the radar for some people. So hopefully we have some good recommendations in here that people can check out and then get back to us and let us know what you thought on these various different things in the next episode. We are going to talk about Thor: Love and Thunder, which may be the MCU's second failure. We're going to talk about that a little bit. We're also going to talk about the new season of The Umbrella Academy and the new season of Only Murders in the Building and the new season of Westworld and the latest season of Stranger Things. There's a lot of big headlining things to talk about, some of which have wrapped, some of which have just started, and some of which are midway through, and we're going to cover that in the next episode. So stay tuned for that. Thank you for hanging out with us. We hope to be able to bring you another episode here very soon. Until then, take care.